Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
A Phil Collins / Payday Friday here on BSNG. Payday Friday, Phil Collins Friday. The gang is here. Joe Spinoni on the board. Kyle Madsen producing. As we roll, 2 hours down already. Time is flying as we effort to get Roger Craig, three-time Super Bowl champ. Also play with Dwight Clark here on Dwight Clark Day. Roger Craig. Guru knows where I'm going here, but I've been beating the drum. I may be the leader in the clubhouse here when it comes to Roger Craig being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame for having three great years. Why not Roger Craig, who's got three rings, not two, three rings, four-time Pro Bowler, 1980s all-time, all-decade team. Marshall Faulk joined us about a year ago, said, I modeled my game after Roger Craig. Think about what Roger Craig did. The first back to go 1,000-1,000 and how important he was to the Bill Walsh West Coast offense. Roger Craig, another guy, when you talk about embracing the community, Butcher Boy, embracing the culture here in the Bay Area, guy played football in Nebraska. He's from Iowa. He's now a Bay Area native with his daughter going to Mitty, being a Cooper. Roger Craig embraced the Bay Area just like Dwight Clark.
She was a great athlete. I mean, if you know about female sports here in the Bay Area, you knew that Roger Craig's daughter was a baller. So, yeah, obviously. And the one thing I don't think gets enough credit is the guy played fullback in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was his position when he first came to the 49ers. And that Super Bowl against Miami, he was dominant. And I don't think people give him enough credit for that one. Go back and watch the Miami Dolphins Super Bowl against the 49ers in Palo Alto. I mean, he was a revelation in that game for a lot of people around the country who didn't get an opportunity to watch 49er games. So, look, man, the way I look at Roger, and there's the way you kind of phrased it right there, without Roger Craig's contributions to the game of football, you would be missing the evolutionary step forward that the running back position now looks at. When you look at Christian McCaffrey, Priest Holmes, LaDainian Tomlinson, obviously Marshall Faulk, these guys that are dual threats, I mean, they don't exist without Roger
Craig. Let's bring in Roger Craig, and I hope Roger Craig heard that here. He's now on the phone lines here at 95.7 The Game, three-time Super Bowl champ, 1980s all-decade team. Hey, Roger, we here at 95.7 The Game. We're trying to get you into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, baby.
Hey, well, thanks,
we've talked about it all the time.
My company's been trying to do it for the last couple of years, you know, using our analytics, showing, you know, why I should be in there, all my data analysis, you know, as far as what I did, you know, I was 1,000 as a fullback. I led the whole NFL. I caught 92 balls that same year. And then in moving to halfback, I do 2,000 yards again at halfback. You know, I have 1,500 yards rushing and 600 yards receiving. And, you know, my first year, and I was MVP that year. And also the offensive player of the year.
Yep.
For, you know, Sports Illustrated, all that, man. So, you know, hopefully it would happen, you know, soon. It's been a long time, but hopefully, you know, next year or two, you know, I'll be going in. But if not, you know, I'm cool. You know, I'm happy. You know, they all are chasing after the 1,000 Chris McCaffrey, which I love a lot. He's a good guy, and I had the opportunity to visit with him. A couple of years ago, when I saw him at Hamilton in San Francisco. His father and him was there with some friends, and I got a chance to visit with him, and I told him what he needed to do, you know, as far as how to, you know, to get this $1,000.
Right.
And he did it the next year. So, and there's articles out there, you know, if you Google up my name with his name, you know, that I did talk about him, you know, how, you know, I was impressed and happy that he did the $1,000.
No doubt. Hey, Roger.
So basically what Bill Walsh created, you know, when I came to that team, you know, running back, and I fit his system perfectly, you know, as far as being able to catch the ball and run the ball, and block and do all those type of things, you know. And the millennials are definitely chasing after it now. And it took Marshall Faulk a long time before he did it, you know, the $1,000. I did it in 1985, and he did it in 1999. And Christian McCaffrey did it in 1919. So it shows you it's not easy to do, you know. Those years in between those, you know, all those years, right. You know, it's a tough thing to accomplish. But when you do accomplish it, it's really amazing, you know. And I'm happy that I kind of created it.
No doubt about it, Roger. There's no doubt about it. It's 8-7 day. It's Dwight Clark day. And as someone who played with Dwight and obviously knows him on and off the field, tell us about Dwight Clark.
Great human being. Dwight Clark was the most humble guy. I learned so much from Dwight Clark, you know, the humbleness, you know, and just the hard work, how he perfected being a great receiver. You know, I learned a lot just watching him, and he was such a great human being. He was like my brother, you know, and we did appearances together. I had a blast, you know, working with that guy. He was such a great human being.
Roger, how much pride do you take that the organization won't let his memory, wane at all? The fact that there is Dwight Clark Day and they had the dedication in 2017, that game against the Cowboys, I was there, and you look up and all the former teammates, current team, I mean, you know, guys that didn't even get a chance to play with them. How much pride do you take in that?
Well, I take pride in you know, being able to, you know that I had the opportunity to play with that guy and know what he brought to the table. And he was such a great guy off the field, you know. So, you know, when you bring that kind of, you know, accountability to something, you know, he's special. He's a special human being. You know, the guy is a special guy that everyone should kind of, you know, take a page from, you know.
No doubt.
Because, you know, Dwight's a really good human being, man. And he loved everyone. He loved everyone. And he was so humble. That's why I loved his humbleness. And that's what I try to adapt and try to copy.
Right.
You know, to be like him, you know.
No doubt. No doubt. And Roger, like Dwight Clark, you both have embraced the Bay Area as your home. You know, him coming from Clemson and you coming from Nebraska by way of Iowa. You guys both embraced the Bay Area. So we thank you for the time. And by the way, Marshall Faulk did tell us, I was looking up to Roger Craig trying to get $1,000. So all these running backs, believe it or not, they look up to you, Roger. So we're going to keep beating the drum for you to get in the Hall of Fame, man. You were part of those great teams in the 80s with the 49ers, of course. You had a great career. Roger, thanks so much for the time today.
My pleasure.
No doubt.
Thank you guys, man. And thanks for, keeping my name out there, you know, knowing that, you know, I should be in the Hall of Fame or whatever. You know, I really appreciate you guys doing that. You know, it makes me tear up, man, every time I do, hear that someone's, you know, trying to help me get into the Hall of Fame, you know.
No doubt.
Number 33 should be retired.
I love you.
Number 33. We love you too, Roger. Take care, man.
Right,
keep up the great work, man. Roger Craig here on 95.7 in game, remembering Dwight Clark. And that's the word that keeps coming up, Butcher and Guru. Humble. Humble. Yeah, Dwight Clark was humble.
Butch, and he ran hard. That's why the good-looking dude, that was my era. Yeah. All the girls wanted to, you know, that boy, on and off the field, it meant Dwight Clark. But I'll say this. Get mad, and I think, and you guys go, come on, Goo. I get mad when I hear how, or what I perceive, the devalued devaluation of the running back position. That's BS. And guys like Roger Craig, Earl Campbell, you know, they gave it their all. So when we hear, oh, now old running backs come a dime a dozen, that bothers me because I think of 33 and how he used to run with everything he had, man.
Yeah, I'm getting texts right now from friends of the family, guys, and one of our good friends, Bob Farrow's checking in. He hit me up with a direct text. He said, I had the pleasure of meeting Dwight Clark a few times at golf events, and I can say he made you feel like he's known you for 25 years on the very first interaction that you ever had with him. He was so humble and was just the nicest man. I mean, isn't that kind of the overarching theme that we've heard from everyone, whether it's Roger Craig, whether it's people on the text line? I mean, there's just certain people that live their life a certain way, and that's why I have an 87 jersey, right? I mean, I was so young.
What jersey don't you have, Butch?
Oh, stop hating. I was so young, I didn't get a chance to see a Dwight in his prime. I'm just being honest. Like,
there's
I was
so many
super
of them.
Young.
I can't even give you an exact name.
But 87 is just somebody who I've gone back,
no
and
doubt.
Obviously I've tried to study the old stuff and the old videos and watch all of the material, whether it's Randy Cross or Bill Walsh or George Seifert talking about Dwight Clark, the player, the man, and to a T, every single person says the same thing. He was a really good player. He was a better human being. And that's, isn't that at the end of the day, like, honestly,
what
as
it's
much
all about.
As we got hot air and stuff, you know, when I go to, I used to be an altar server. I go to a lot of funerals. There'd be like three people. This guy lived for 85 years. He didn't touch anyone. Someone like Dwight Clark, he lived a short time on this earth. Think of how many people he touched. It's incredible. I mean, that's what life is to me. And it sounds corny, but that's the reality of how I live my life. And it's something that I've taken away from Dwight Clark. And I mean that.
Cliff Branch, Jim Plunkett, Roger Craig should all be in the Hall of Fame. That is from the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line.
Tom Flores, too.
Tom Flores.
With two Super Bowl victories.
George Seifert.
I can't hate on that. George Seifert. Okay. That's, man, George Seifert. You talking
about Flores, too.
Yeah, Flores.
They both got two titles.
Yeah, no doubt
what
about it.
What is that about? How did you just miss?
If
on
they
that?
Were Steelers, if they were Steelers or Cowboys, they'd be in already. That's a fact.
If they're on the East Coast, yeah, like you said, if they're on the East Coast or the Midwest, everything gets glorified out there. That's why, Guru, I go off on New York City. I go off on Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They act like they created every damn thing in the world. Screw that. The West
tendencies.
Coast has had some real good athletes out here, great athletes, iconic athletes. It's a crime that these guys are not in the Hall of Fame. As we remember, Dwight Clark, number 87, of course, to catch back in January of 1982, that great call by Vin Scully. Vin Scully, man, I don't know why he
the
gave
greatest.
Up. I think that's his last game he ever called, last football game he ever called as an announcer.
Yeah, Vin one of the greats, man. Butch. He was the man. Hey, real quick, people don't know. Well, you two do. The catch. There was 50 seconds left. Dallas threw a slant.
On.
Danny White to Drew Pearson, and he
Eric
almost
Rice.
Took it to the air. Wide. Not easy.
Boy, man. Danny White fumbled on the very next play.
And who recovered it? Jim Stuckey.
Mister, I lose
it.
Look at you.
Jim Stuckey.
You know, here's the thing.
And he's going to join us in about 15 minutes, real quick, Butcher.
Yeah.
Jim Stuckey.
Danny White was the punter, too, for that team.
Yep.
He replaced Roger Staubach.
Oh, yeah.
Got back to the
NFC. Three straight
NFC
championships and couldn't win.
Yep.
Yeah, but here's my favorite Dwight Clark story.
Romo
and it doesn't really necessarily involve him. It's just the only story I've heard from this game and put this way. It's when Dwight Clark's getting interviewed and they're talking about, you know, what did you guys draw from for that 81 season? How did you guys get inspiration? He said, well, it goes back the year prior. They were getting killed by the Saints, and I think they were down 35-3 or whatever the score was. And Bill Walsh went in at halftime and he said, well, guys, let's just go out there and let's just execute. He didn't turn over tables. He didn't scream. Yeah. He didn't yell. He kind of set the expectations real low, and the players themselves drew from that inspiration. Like, is he not buying into us? Like, what's going on? Because he was playing those Jedi mind tricks, and Dwight goes out there and balls in the second half, and it's just that little tiny story of that era from that team, not in the year they won it, the year prior. Right. And he said, we drew from that inspiration for years and years and years. And it's just the little stories like that when you hear from Dwight Clark and the way he tells them, it's just incredible, man. I mean, the guy was a great storyteller, and he just – you could tell he had a connection with Bill Walsh because Bill Hand chose him and defended him getting selected in the 10th round, for crying out loud. You could have signed him as an undrafted free agent.
And now
– it's those stories. I
what's
love
sad
them.
About
Speaking
that,
of Jedi,
too,
yeah.
What's sad about that is Bill Walsh cut him. And Dwight Clark is like, what are you talking about? Bill Walsh would cut guys a year ahead. Like, you know what? I don't think he can hack it anymore.
That's gangster.
He kept guys on edge. And I can't wait to talk to Jim Stuckey. Jen Stuckey's going to join us here in about 13 minutes on 95.7 The Game. Former teammate of Dwight Clark, not only with the 49ers when they won two Super Bowls together, but also with Clemson. He knows Dwight Clark from back in his college days. Wow. Jen Stuckey, former defensive tackle, he's going to join us at 12:30 to talk about Dwight Clark here on Dwight Clark Day. And then Mike Bassick, of course, at 1:30 talking about Barry Bonds. What a day. What a day in the Bay Area. Barry Bonds hitting 756. You got Dwight Clark Day. A lot going on here in the Bay Area. You got Giants Dodgers later on tonight for a three-game
set. Jeopardy.
And then you got, Jeopardy at 1 o'clock. Jeopardy at 1 o'clock. Man. And then you got A's Astros at the Cali. What a day here in the Bay Area.
You know what's crazy is that the Niners retired Dwight Clark's jersey, 87, super early. I mean, right out the gate. I mean, we're still waiting for T.O. and his accomplishments to get hung up in the rafters and get put up there. And they're probably not going to end up doing that, which is crazy to me. So, I mean, just to see Dwight's impact on the organization, the community, the legacy of the 49ers, and then, like, just the memories that he left everyone with. I mean, most of the memories, like, everyone's going to go to the catch. But most of the memories, when you talk to everybody, it's nothing to do with football. It's about the man. And I can't keep going back to that, man. The respect he had for this community and for the fans, it's so rare these days. You just don't see that connection.
And you know what? And who we haven't mentioned during this show is Eddie D. Mm. I hope he gets another shot. I don't know if he wants another shot, but it starts with him, man. Nobody's perfect, but Bonte and Shasky, I don't got to tell you two, everything we're talking about, he set the tone.
Eddie D,
that
man.
Family atmosphere was like the Sopranos, show. I want him to get another go round in this era, man.
You know what?
He was loyal. He was loyal.
He was. You know what? With Eddie D, when you see all the stories of Eddie D in the locker room during the game, we heard a story about him breaking a TV because they lost. He's going crazy. I think of Guru, I think of Shask, I think of myself. That's how we watch football games. Eddie D, the owner of the team, watch football games like all three of us where we're throwing a remote control. How many remote controls have you guys broken over sports?
Oh,
that's Eddie DeBartolo. That's Eddie D. He was us owning a football team, and he was relentless at trying to build a Super Bowl contender. You're an owner like that, and you coined the phrase Super Bowl or bust. Nothing else is acceptable out here. And it was a mindset. It was a mindset that we still carry to this day, despite the dark days of Mike Nolan, the dark days of Jim Tom Sula and Chip Kelly. It's a mindset here in San Francisco when it comes to the 49ers. Anything less is unacceptable. And Eddie D, I'm so glad he got into the Hall of Fame. Really glad that he got honored. Overdue. And it was long overdue, man. Yeah. Very long overdue. He had the stadium getting ready to be built at Candlestick Point. We know what happened there. Eddie DeBartolo is just one of a kind, man. I love Eddie D. And I got to tell you, Shasky, you had that story about Brent Jones, Dwight Clark, and Goo. When he came, what day was that? What game was that? It was the last game at Candlestick Park when he walked through. He walked through, and I remember people were yelling, Eddie D, it's great to see you. He turned around like a gangster and said, it's good to see you too. Saluted everybody, just walked into the stadium. I'm like, man, what a gangster.
You know, the thing is with Eddie, like, we can go on and on and on for days. But he doesn't own the team right now. He doesn't own the team right now. You do need to give Jed, Denise, Dr. John credit for continuing to honor the history of the organization.
No doubt.
They've done a fantastic job the last couple of years. No one has been more critical of them than myself. But I will definitely give them a round of applause, a standing ovation for what they've done when it comes to the legacy of Dwight Clark. No, I mean this sincerely. Like, they could have easily, like, done some, I don't know, just going through the motions. They understand what Dwight Clark means to this community. They understand what Dwight Clark means to what they own right now and what he built and helped build for them when it comes to the connection with the fan base, the legacy in terms of Super Bowls and impact within the NFL.
Think about all the players who come back. Think about all the players who come back with not only the 49ers, the Giants, I think the Bay Area, the Warriors now with Joe Lacob and company.
Wow.
But just looking at the Niners, think about how many times we see Jesse Sapolo, John Taylor, Tim Harris, Guy McIntyre, Eric Wright. I mean, Ricky Waters is now back, and he left the team. Merton Hanks, Eric.
Ricky's feeling himself in the front row, if we're being totally honest.
Ricky Williams has earrings on both ears. The eyes blinking with the curl. He still has the juice coming out the curl. Ricky Waters is feeling himself. All those guys, think about all those players who come back. because of the way the Niners treated them. Eddie DeBartolo treated these players with first class, and that's why they're all there for Dwight Clark. They had no problem coming back for Dwight Clark in the 49ers organization.
And you know what? In this era of social media, Butch, which just to piggyback on what you said in regard to Dwight Clark, it could have been an Instagram post, a press release, you know, saying how much he meant. So there is truth to that, man. This coming from the heart. They feel it. So kudos to everybody involved.
And that statue is long overdue. Again, I've critiqued the statue, you know, here and there, saying it's too shiny. It needs to be more rustic looking. But, like, at the end of the day, I go to that stadium every week. Bonte, you and I do our laps before. We do the laps after. I'm running by it. And that statue, the Montana and the Dwight Clark one, has a line all day long for that, just for people to come up and touch the statue, take a picture next to the statue. Beer.
No doubt.
I didn't even think of that.
You know
where Bill Walsh is?
Up on top, overlooking the entire field.
Overlooking the football
field. And I want the headset on. Yep. And
I want the white sweater. The white sweater.
I want the whole thing.
And I tell you what.
Looking at the field.
You know what I want?
Bill,
I want
that goat.
I want that North Face jacket he used to rock in the mid 80s. North Face needs to make that jacket. They need to make that jacket. No, you don't have a Shasky.
Yes, I do. I got the red version. No, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
The beige jacket with the 49ers logo, SF, with the old school North Face logo. They don't sell those anywhere. Real quick, Verducci and Walnut Creek.
Market Street, bro. Don't hate on the player.
Oh, stop it. Verducci and Walnut Creek. By the way, I dragged your ass down to Levi Stadium. Remember that? Verducci, Walnut Creek.
He did.
Verducci, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Verducci. What's going on, baby? Good to hear from you.
Hey, man, I got a great story of Dwight Clark, and I never actually got to meet him, but I was a freshman at St. Mary's College. My dad invited me to go down to they used to have a Father's Day or Father's Club event specifically to bring in one of their – you know, a big key player within the community, or it could be a professional sports figure. And so Joe Montana and his father were the guest speakers at this particular Father's Club event. And someone asked him about the catch, and he spoke 10 minutes, not even about the catch, but the man that Dwight Clark was, and really kind of inspired us young individuals that were there, just talking about how to live your life, how humble he was, what he's done for the community. And it just really inspired me. I mean, yes, it was Joe Montana speaking there, but the fact that he took 10 minutes just to specifically speak about Dwight Clark and the type of man he was and who he was off the field really inspired me. And I'm thinking about one other person that I know specifically that I think could be a good fit that's kind of like a Dwight Clark. What about a Donald Foyle, Golden State Warriors? He does a lot of stuff within the community. He never was really a star player.
Yeah.
But, again, someone that really just commits himself to the community and still lives here in the Bay Area. Thank you guys so much. Have a great weekend.
You too, baby. You too. Real quick, let's get to Robin in San Francisco. We'll try to get to Brendan on the other side as we bring in Jim Stuckey at 12:30. Robin, good afternoon. Robin, hope you're doing well.
I want to make this real quick. We all love Dwight, but I want to just tell you guys, look up Roger Craig in the Macy ad, baby. He belongs in the Hall of Fame, baby.
Robin.
I love you, Robin.
That full page ad, baby. Ooh, Roger, baby, if you're listening. Listen, I want to clear up something with you guys. When I called in and said people were ungrateful, I didn't mean you to. Steinmetz took that the wrong way. I was talking about the fan base, and I think that, Bonte, you pointed to that. You're right. There is an expectation that we are the Niners. We are the pride, and as we get back there, that's why nobody can talk smack to me, because we have a legacy. It's tough to be a quarterback back for the Niners, but I was not coming down your road, Guru. Advante, you hit it on the nose. I was talking about how ungrateful the fan base is. We overachieved last season. We are ascending still and still making moves. Everything must be looked at within context in order to see that perspective. Thank you. I love you guys, and take care of one another.
Love you too, Robin. Love you too. Great call. Brendan in Newark, stay on hold. If you want to give us a call back, we got to run here, but I want to get to your Dwight Clark story here on 95.7 The Game. Jim Stuckey, former teammate of Dwight Clark's at Clemson and the 49ers, he's going to join us next. And it's brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Chilton Auto Body is open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options along with free pickup and delivery. Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates of curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your own vehicle. Book an appointment today at Chilton Auto Body.
Now back to Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
What a day here in the Bay Area. Got Giants, Dodgers down in L.A. A's, Astros at the Cali. 13-year anniversary of Barry Bonds hitting his 756th home run. And, of course, it is Dwight Clark Day. We're number 87. It's August 7th. And the 49ers, as well as we here at 95.7 The Game, are honoring the great Dwight Clark. Roger Craig has came in, has come on the show, enlightened us on some memories with Dwight Clark. Sean McDonough as well. Now let's go to his former college teammate, as well as teammate with the 49ers. Won two Super Bowls here in San Francisco, former defensive tackle, Jim Stuckey, here on 95.7 The Game. And, Jim, thank you so much for joining us here at 95.7 The Game. Vontae Hill, Dirty Guru Johnson, Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, and I mean, where do we start here with Dwight Clark? I mean, I just want to hear about Dwight Clark in college, because he was a wild man when he became a professional athlete. We heard all the stories here, but what was it like when you first met Dwight Clark at Clemson University?
Well, you know what? Dwight and I were able to play 10 years together, three with the Clemson Tigers and 7 years together with the 49ers. But Dwight was the prettiest damn wide receiver I've ever seen. And we had a great quarterback, Steve Fuller, who ended up being a first-round pick of the Chiefs. And Dwight was his roommate, and myself and Jeff Bostic, who had a 14-year career with the Redskins as one of the Hogs. He was the center. We lived right beside them. So you got a defensive lineman, offensive lineman, you got a wide receiver, and the quarterback living right next to us. They were the best. And it was so funny. I mean, they would have some of the prettiest ladies around as anybody I've ever seen. But it was great. His work ethic was impeccable and always was. And he ran, as far as playing ball and everything, he ran precision routes. He was very intelligent. He was fun. He was a great teammate. And, when he went to the 49ers and got in Coach Walsh's system and everything, he was the perfect entity to bring in, because we were back then with Bill and his West Coast offense. You had to run such precise routes. And Dwight was a model of that. So I was very, very fortunate to have played with him and lived with him for a long time. I mean, right beside me. So I can't say enough wonderful things about him and how he managed his life professionally, socially, and personally.
You know, Jim, I'm wondering here, and I've been wondering about this for forever, and I think a lot of 49er fans have. I mean, the guy was going to be a safety. He wanted to play quarterback. He left school, came back. He's playing alongside a first-round draft pick at Clemson. I mean, weren't you surprised that he went in the 10th round? Because the story goes that Bill Walsh wanted to take him. His own advisors told him, nah, don't take him. You can sign him as an undrafted free agent. But for him to get drafted with only like 35 catches in college, I mean, that had to be kind of a head-scratcher, even for you, who was his teammate in Clemson.
Well, you know what? It was, but I know that Bill saw something in him when he came down. Bill came in to take a look at Steve Fuller, our quarterback. And Dwight ran the routes and did all the pass catching for him. And it was just one of those things. I think when a professional coach and someone of Coach Walsh's integrity and expertise can see the talent, that you don't want to you don't want to take that chance with free agency. And look how it paid off. I mean, it paid off handsomely for the 49ers the whole time. Arguably, you know, I mean, the catch is one of the – certainly number one in 49ers history is iconic plays. And then within the top four, I would say easily, of the NFL. So Dwight did an incredible job, and I think it was Bill's vision – that he had. And sometimes you got to buck the system. and go with your gut. And I think that's what Coach Walsh did.
Did he ever change personality-wise from Clemson through the 49ers?
No. No, he never did. He was a guy's guy. Loved cutting up with all the guys. And he was great in the locker room. And that's what you want. He was always inclusive and always running around with the guys. But he was fun-loving, jokester, but very, very professional also. Extremely professional in his craft.
Jim Stuckey here on 95.7 The Game, talking about Dwight Clark. He played with Dwight Clark back at Clemson, was roommates with Dwight Clark, and, of course, won two Super Bowls as a member of the 49ers alongside Dwight Clark. You know, Jim, just thinking about the catch game, and we all look at the catch, and it's truly one of those iconic plays. But, man, he stole your thunder. He stole your thunder, man. You recovered the game with a fumble. As well as Eric Wright making that great tackle against Drew Pearson.
Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, Dwight, I mean, that set us off. And I don't know how many turnovers we had. That's certainly the greatest game I've ever played in, and we had a wonderful, successful history at Clemson coming into that. But for us to be able to make that turnaround in such a short period of time, Dwight makes the catch. Eric Wright saves the day, collaring Drew Pearson at like the 30-yard line. And I'm fortunate enough, Lawrence Pillars and I run a little game inside. Lawrence knocks the ball out of Danny White's hand, and I recover the fumble. So... And people, I was playing golf the other day, and my caddy asked me, he said, "Stuck, what'd you do? Dwight Clark made the catch and everything." I said, "Buddy, I recovered the fumble that started a damn dynasty." So, but it was good, and it's all about teamwork.
Yeah.
All about teamwork.
Jim, come on. Give me some background on this mink coat. I mean, my dad to this day still talks about it. It's iconic. Him standing up there at City Hall with that coat on. Did you guys give him grief in the moment, or did you just go, "Man, that's Dwight Clark"?
Baby, that's Dwight Clark. And that coyote fur coat, that full-length coyote, yes, if I'd have had one, I'd have worn one too back then. So... I think he was dating, I believe, Sean Weatherly at the time.
Yeah.
Who was the reigning Miss Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the furrier for the Miss Universe, where they give all the minks, Irving Himmelflor Furriers. I don't even know whether they're still doing it. But I think Dwight went and had that coat made for him. Because they made all the stuff for Miss Universe. But he looked bad as hell. I don't think we had seen a coyote fur or a mink on a guy since Joe Namath. But he could pull it off. I mean, when you're 6'4", you're tan, you're good-looking as hell, and you're lanky, you could wear that.
No doubt. No doubt, Jim. I wish we would have saw you with one. But talk about winning that Super Bowl, because you guys became basically rock stars, especially Joe Montana and Dwight Clark. Talk about the city. After you guys brought back the first Super Bowl championship here in San Francisco, the history of the Cowboys and Niners, and Niners could never get over the hump against the Cowboys. Winning that first title, could you just talk about the vibes here in San Francisco and in the Bay Area after you guys won that first Super Bowl? Because it felt like you guys were rock stars.
You know what? It was, and I can tell you, and when I speak to certain groups and anything, what we did was 48 guys brought a city back together. I think San Francisco was trying to find their identity again,
yeah.
And we had the assassinations earlier on, and we were kind of floundering. And I think the people of the Bay Area needed something and some entity to feel good about. And we started winning, and the whole city rallied behind us, the whole city. And it was, I mean, you couldn't go anywhere. And but I did. I was out all the time. I mean, if you're single and winning, I mean, I got to go out. So anyway, but it was the biggest thing I think we did was bring a city together and give everyone a identity. We were all very approachable, and we were enjoying it too. So it was, I think the suicide rate went almost down to nothing and back in the day. And but it was the biggest thing that I've ever taken away from that is that we brought a city back together, gave us some identity, gave us something to be proud about, gave us what we were yearning for back then.
Man, Jimmy, you make it sound like it wasn't a bad thing to be Dwight Clark's wingman. Sounds like you had a lot of fun with Dwight, as we remember Dwight Clark, who left us June 4th of 2018. Jim, we thank you so much for the time. We thank you so much for sharing some of those memories with Dwight Clark. You take care out there in South Carolina, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. And please, everyone, remember what Dwight brought to the city. We were all part of the start of this, and we're back there again right now. So thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
You too, Jim. And we will not forget that fumble you recovered in the NFC Championship game.
Oh, thank you.
We
thank
will
you.
Not forget
about
that.
There's only about two people that damn remember it.
not us two. We're the only two that will never let it ever die. I mean that sincerely. That was a moment
right,
in time.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Former 49er, former first-round pick out of Clemson, played with Dwight Clark at Clemson, and, of course, with the 49ers, winning two Super Bowls with the Niners, Jim Stuckey. Jim Stuckey with some great, well, great memories. And he said the women at Clemson. He was pulling them in at Clemson, man.
Hey, you know, the other thing I brought up in there, and this, I think a lot of, like, I was listening to Joe Fortenbaugh, God bless him, you know, but I was listening to him kind of poo-poo the moment that was the catch, and I don't think he understood the backdrop of the city at the time.
That.
When you have the Moscone murder, and you have the white situation with Harvey Milk, and there was just so many things going on in the city. You had all the mob hits that were going on. Yep. The city was imploding. The die-out of the hippie era, and the ramifications of what would happen then, the Zodiac Killer, like the 70s were gloom and doom. As
brutal.
Great as the late 60s were with the hippie movement, the 70s were real bad here in the city. There was a lot of murder and devastation and financial turmoil, and you had a lot of upheaval, and again, assassinations of
public figures.
Characters.
Yeah,
huge
wow.
public figures. I mean, these were influential people down at City Hall, and to have all that happen, and people were losing faith in the city of San Francisco, and to have the 49ers do what they did, it unified this region around that team and kind of spurned on the great 80s, which we look back at the 80s in San Francisco, and it's a pretty happy place. I mean, it really
is.
That's
good history, man.
And it's all
so
started.
I'm glad that he brought that up.
Yeah, I'm glad he brought that up, too, and just looking back at the 80s, all you youngsters who don't know what Jim Stuckey was talking about, I recommend this program. And I was just telling our producer Kyle about this. NFL Network is great by showing all the old games, the old classics. But they have a program called The Timeline. The Timeline. And they have it. They have a few episodes about the last day of pro football in L.A. back in 1995 when the Raiders moved back to Oakland and the Rams moved to St. Louis. They have a program about the Niners and the Cowboys. And a tale of two different cities. And it brings it all together. And it kind of touches on what Jim Stuckey was talking about there with the assassinations and the suicide rate and what was going on in San Francisco. The Timeline on NFL Network. I cannot recommend that enough. It will blow you away. And it gives you the history of the Niners-Cowboys rivalry in the 70s, the 80s, and then later
what
on.
What is
in
this
90s.
On, B? Where can I
NFL
catch that?
NFL Network.
At?
You just Google
wow.
it. YouTube. All right. The Timeline. Trust me on that one.
Timeline.
It is great.
There's a book also out there, and I know Glenn Dickey was a part of the book, and Ira Miller were a part of the book. I don't think they were the headliners of who wrote it, but The Birth of a Dynasty and the Death of Another, and that was basically the same thing about everything that was going on in the city and with the 49ers beforehand, everything that was going on with Dallas and the greater Dallas area and Tom Landry and his impact on the game before they came, and how when the two met in that NFC Championship game, the direction that each city and each organization went in after, that's a book that I would look for.
Yeah, I got reconnected when he was talking about Dwight was not only good on the field, he was good off of it. It sounds like good looking dude. The tan.
Oh, yeah.
Did he say tan skin? Did
tan.
I hear that, Monte? Yeah.
Tan.
Dwight was the man. He's on the and man, off the field.
Man, he was the man at Clemson, the man with the Niners.
Wow.
Hey,
that was his wingman. I heard you say that. Wingman.
Wingman. Ain't nothing wrong with being a wingman to a guy like Dwight Clark. That's for sure.
It couldn't hurt.
No, it couldn't hurt at all here as we get ready. Look, we got live sports going on. It's all kind of things happening here. I need a Tiger update, Shasky. A Tiger Woods update. It's about
I got
that
it on.
Time.
Hey, it's Tiger.
Tiger Woods hasn't teed off yet, but how Tong Lee? Is your leader at 8-under with Brendan Todd. Todd. Okay. 6-under. Yeah, Hao Tong Li from China. Jason Day teeing off at 1 o'clock. He is 5-under.
Where's your guy, Kepka?
Right now.
Where's your guy?
Kepka's
where's he 4 at?
4-under. He hasn't teed off yet. That's the afternoon. They call it the draw, okay? You get the morning
Give me the leader's name again from China.
The afternoon
give me his
draw
name.
On Friday. Hao Tong Li. He is the
What
Chinese
were the odds on him winning? I bet somebody's like,
stay tuned.
No, he had to have good odds. I mean,
no like low odds. Low odds.
Yeah,
probably like what,
odds.
275 to 1?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yes, they'd be good odds if you were the one.
Yeah,
betting
good
on
odds
him,
if you bet
saying,
on him,
right.
B. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you get some money back.
Are you surprised that he's at 8-under? Because maybe Harding, obviously, Harding is different than Olympic, but I just remember at the Olympic, you get a lot of, you don't get too many low scores. You get a lot of guys around even par, over par.
They're
8-under, I didn't think the way that people were talking about Harding Park, 8-under is like surprising to me. Somebody with a low score like that.
Well, what happens is that Harding's flat. It's really, really, really flat. And so if these guys can bomb it and they don't have an uphill, downhill lie, they're going to score no matter how thick the rough is. And the greens aren't very tricky. I've seen a lot of guys pouring in 30, 40-foot putts. You just don't see that at Olympic because the greens have way more angulation and it's built on the side of a hill. Like, straight up, Olympic Club is on a hill, so every single shot is either the ball way above your feet or way
below.
Let me
ask you this.
Makes it way more difficult.
When we talked to Sean and you said the prestige that San Francisco must have hosting this, like Super Bowls, I wonder, and I don't know if you know this, Butch, how many times did they get turned down or how many times it took for them to actually get this to host? You know how some Super Bowls
– Yeah, when they renovated the course, okay, back in 2000, that's why it's called TPC, which is basically means the PGA Tour is a partner with the city of San Francisco to renovate it. Part of that partnership was, hey, we're bringing a President's Cup, which is like a team format, USA versus the world, and we're going to bring a match play, which played in 2015, which Rory won, and we're going to bring a major, the PGA Championship. They're supposed to also get a Ryder Cup, but I think now they're going to get off the Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup is USA versus
Europe.
The greater European countries.
Yep. Speaking of Rory, Scotland. What happened? I thought he was the next. Rory, what happened?
Hey, Rory, he said, this is what golf's hard. Golf's hard, man. He got that chip.
Golf's hard.
He got that chip, and then he fell off, man. He got that. He got a couple of majors, and, never to be seen.
He got
again.
Fed. Fat rat.
Yeah, exactly. I still like Koepka, boys. I like Koepka. Okay. I think Koepka's going to win. Let's watch him this afternoon. I'm looking out my window because I'm only blocks away. There's not a lot of wind. That's a good thing. Now, it's going to get windy
looks
later
sunny
on this afternoon.
Out there. The
it
clouds.
Is nice.
Oh, they're showing Tiger walk up now. He's got his mask on and everything.
I mean, what about
Tiger
basically dissing the Giants? I thought he was a Giants fan. Who
no, he's a Dodger fan.
Is he really a Dodger
what
fan?
Was that?
He's a Dodger. He's a Dodger
and you guys
Raider
tried
fan.
To claim him in the Bay Area, whoever put him on their list.
No, that was
he won't
so
even get the
fraudulent.
Top 10.
But Rory,
yeah.
Rory does have Giants ties because in Ireland, man, the Giants are big. There's a big,
big
Irish
there.
Connection out here in the Bay Area. And
did
Rory
Ratto,
had a bobblehead.
The great Ray Ratto have Tiger Woods, I believe. Somebody had him in the top 10, and he ain't even claiming the Giants.
I know your history.
I saw Russell Bayes on the top 10 list.
You know your history.
Damn,
hey, I'll be real, though. That TaylorMade and Callaway Giants bag looks ridiculous. When you go inside the Ziploc of the pouch, they have the San Francisco Chronicle Dynasty printout.
What are those run? What's a good bag run, you Butch? What's a good bag
one
run?
One of those bags? One of those bags is like $750.
I guarantee you, Shasky's ready
problem.
To charge it.
Chatsky's ready to buy it right now.
I entered every single contest.
When I tell you, it's Guru. Hey, he's an organization's best friend. You talk about selling him, man.
I got a couple of jerseys.
You can sell a water bottle with a 49ers logo on it. He's going to buy it for $15. That's for damn sure.
I got a little wardrobe, Butch. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
We afford these free agents.
Nothing wrong with it at all. By the way, Jock Brady coming up.
Have the categories come out on Twitter? I haven't seen any.
What is the categories at?
No, I haven't seen them. I'm asking, have you? Because you usually get them first.
I usually get them last. And you know what Spinotti did say? You know what, Bonte? It's impressive how you've been winning these jockeys because you're on delay. Spinotti told me. He goes, you're 5 seconds behind everybody.
It's impressive. Yeah.
Okay, that was one time. Yeah. That was just one time.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Spinotti. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Bonte's currently giving me the death stare.
I mean, everybody gets Bonte.
Hey, Butch, break up the love affair.
Man, can I get somebody to have my back around his parts?
I do have the categories, gentlemen. I'd like to hear them.
What's the category, Spinotti? So, I don't like you anymore.
I got my pen.
Mystery haiku.
Oh, my Lord.
Catching some giant Z's, in quotations. And they share a nickname. Those are the first three categories. They share a nickname.
Wow.
This is going to be hard.
Since I'm not in here every week, all I'm trying to do is just disrupt. That's my whole job. Team Obliterator over here.
Last time you were here, you lost four. You and Steiny 44-0, Devontae.
No, that's a problem. Last time I was here, you won, I believe. I think you won.
Oh, Butch, you might be good luck, Butch.
Zeroed out at the end. I had positive points till the end. I put all the chips in the middle. I have nothing. Hey, this is win or go home.
I need Bonte to miss a final Jeopardy. He pulls these. What was the brick used on this building in 1924 made of?
Regardless, he's going to cry.
Like I tell you guys, young punks don't respect history. And I try to give you guys a history lesson every single day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's my fault that I love the history books. And you young punks just remember things from the last 10 years.
This makes me want to beat him right here.
Everybody wants to beat me. I saw Natalie from Mexico. She was like, oh, man, Bonte, I'm tired of you winning. What? Why can't I win anything?
I'm not an owl, but who? I love you, Natalie.
Jock Brady coming up with Whitey Gleason here as we remember Dwight Clark and Mike Bassick. Don't forget Mike Bassick.
Yeah,
he's going to join us at 1:30 as we talk about Barry Bonds. Nobody. I don't see anything on ESPN, MLB Network. Nobody's talking about number 756.
That's a great point.
Talk about the haterade. All right, Jock Brady coming up here. It's Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.